I know I'm really looking forward to being able to bring God's word. It's been great to be able to do it and to have this technology. And here I am in the church office speaking into the phone, but to be back in the church using all the great technology and equipment that the team have worked so hard putting in place, and it was going to be such a blessing and encouragement to us all. We are back in 1 John, bedrock, back to basics. And as I was preparing this message, I just had this sense that what John is teaching today, where we are in God's word today, is just a key practice for us as followers of Jesus. And what we're going to be looking at is discernment this morning. And I wrote the first draft of this message on Wednesday, and then later on Wednesday I went on to my exercise bike. And until you think that's wonderful, Mark, let me tell you that my exercise bike has got 32 resistance levels. I'm only on level 4, so it's more of a gentle cycle maybe that I'm going for. And I was listening to a talk where one of the senior leaders in the church had posted on our WhatsApp group about a month ago, a guy called John Tyson. And he was talking about core practices that he believed were right in this moment. He described them as root level practices, things that went down deep into our lives. He had this phrase: they were not seen at the fruit level, but at the root level. Practices that have got formative power in our life. And he shared what these three were. And the first one is abide, abiding in Jesus, John 15. It's a word that we've come round to again and again when we've been going through 1 John. The second one was intercession, contending for people, for situations, through prayer and fasting. And the third word was this word, discernment. And just as I heard him speak, it was a wee confirmation in my own spirit about just the importance of what we come to speak about today. What is discernment? Well, you all know that even though I don't own a single antique, even though I never buy antiques, I quite like watching antique programs. And I was watching this program the other day, and actually it was more a collectible. This person came into a shop and they were looking to sell an item, and it was a lady. She was looking to sell a guitar that she'd bought years ago that had the signature of all the Beatles on it. Ringo, John, Paul and George's signature on this guitar. And the guy in the shop was like, wow, okay, how much are you looking for? And she was looking for, as you can imagine, tens of thousands of pounds. And he said, I need to get this checked out. And I need to get this tested. I need to see whether this is genuine or not. And so along came this specialist, and they spent ages. They had brought photographs of genuine original signatures of the Beatles. They photographed the signatures on this guitar, spent ages kind of assessing it, the detailed examination, and then came the news, the devastating news. They were fake. And this poor lady was gutted. She had been deceived, but she hadn't actually checked it out at the time that she had bought it all those years ago. And the expert said to her, look, just go home, hang it on the wall, and you just tell your friends that you've got a guitar signed by the Beatles. They'll think it's amazing, but actually it's false. Now, what does this mean for us then when we think about discernment? It is a vital practice in our lives. It's so important to being a follower of Jesus that we're able to discern, to test what is from God. What is God's will for your life? What is a move of God? What is false? What is true? What is wrong teaching? What is true teaching? It is a root practice in our lives as followers of Jesus. Now, certainly, in the context that John is writing into, we have to understand that there is so much false teaching going around. And, I've got my Bible sitting here. They did not have Bibles in those days. Maybe there were some letters from Paul or something, floating about, but a lot of the teaching came through verbal communication. And we see, you know, we see Paul sending out Timothy, we see Paul sending out Titus and 3 John. You know, John mentions about elders going out, people going out to bring teaching verbally into the local churches. And what was happening, and we've touched on this already, you would have Joe Bloggs rolling in the town, and there was a house church, and he was a great speaker, a dynamic character, and he was claiming authority, but speaking things that were not true. And often, and we're going to come on to this later, and we've touched on it already, often it was around their understanding of who Jesus was and his life. And so John is writing into this sort of culture, and he's saying to these local churches, you need to practice discernment, you need to test what you're hearing, where it's coming from. And this is still so important for us in our lives today. And so we're going to look at 4 steps to help us in the practice of discernment. Why? Well, both personally and as a church. Remember, John was writing to a community. He wasn't writing to an individual. He's writing to a community. And so what we talk about today is relevant to our lives personally, but also to the local church. It's so important, though, that we are able to be able to discern, you know, what is God saying to us? Where is God moving? What are we to be doing? You know, someone that I have learned a lot about discernment from, and still do, is a writer called Ruth Haley Barton. And I just want to read to you a quote from her book. I've actually got it here. Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And let me read a quote to you from her. Discernment takes us to a place of deep listening and response to the Spirit of God within us and among us. Discernment is a means of creating space for God's activity in our lives. It is one way we can make ourselves available so that He can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Through the practice of discernment and community, we open ourselves to the wisdom of God that is beyond human wisdom, but available to us when we ask for it. How exciting does discernment now sound? You know, we're asking God for something that is beyond human wisdom, but is available to us when we ask for it. So let's get into our text. John 1, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. The practice of discernment. And first thing we see is we need to look for what is genuine. Verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Because many prophets have gone out into the world. Now that word test, it really means rigorous examination. It's like that story I shared about the guy, the specialist who came to test the signatures that were on that guitar. But the obvious question, though, that maybe we have to ask firstly as well is, what are these spirits that John is talking about? Now clearly in John's heart and mind is the spirit that is from God. On the one hand, clearly we have what we refer to as the Holy Spirit. You know, God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit. So there's the Holy Spirit. But there are spirits that are not from God. And one of these is what we sometimes refer to as the spirit of the age. John talks a lot in his letter. He refers to the world. And we've looked already how that refers to cultures and practices in society, you know, where society holds values that wouldn't line up with God's values. But one of the, you know, an example of one of the cultures of today is we live in a very pluralistic society. You know, Leslie Newbegin, the great missional writer, in his book Gospel in a Pluralistic Society, says this. When he's talking about the gospel, he says, people say it cannot be the truth, since in a pluralist society, truth is not one, but many. Excuse me. It may be true for you, but it cannot be true for everyone. To claim that it is true for everyone is simply arrogance. It is permitted as one opinion among many. That's one of the spirits of our age. You're allowed your opinion, but you know, your truth is your truth, and someone else's truth can be their truth. Leslie Newbegin goes on to say this, though. Christianity is rooted and grounded in the question of who is Jesus? Is he just one enlightened teacher among many, one option among many? If, however, he is the incarnation of God, then the gospel and only the gospel is true, and it is the only viable option for salvation amid the multitude of imposters. We could expand much more on this whole theme of the spirit of the age and world views, but we need to be asking when we are discerning, where does our culture, where does the spirit of the age clash with the life of Jesus, and with what it means to be a follower of Jesus? There is also clearly another spirit that we need to be aware of, and there is clearly a demonic side to what John is talking about. Remember, a few weeks ago, we read that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. Those of you that used the Lectio 365 devotional will know on Wednesday this week, we were thinking about this. And we were reading in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant goes out and he sees all these warriors that have come against him. And Elisha prays that God would open his eyes, and he sees the chariots of fire. He sees the whole heavenly realm of angels that are there protecting them. And when, you know, when we're thinking about, practicing discernment and being aware of what is genuine, we need to take serious that there is an enemy who's out to deceive us. You know, a C.S. Lewis quote that we all read on Wednesday. There are two equals and opposite errors into which a race can fall about devils. One is disbelief in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased with both errors. Ephesians 6, Paul writes, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now today, this might be rocking your world a bit, just as you're sitting at home listening to this. Maybe you're sitting thinking, I don't think there's a spiritual enemy interested in me. Stop right there. There is a devil that comes to steal, kill and destroy. And he will do anything he can to deceive you and take you down. You know, maybe you're thinking, if it feels okay to me, then usually I think it's right. That is the spirit of our age. And again, stop there. You know, the spirit of our age says, just do what feels right to you. We're called to discern what is genuine. We've got to go to God's word and test and discern. Is this genuine? Is this from God? Is this a move of the Holy Spirit? Is there another spirit behind this? You know, I hope you're starting to see just how important this is. Why this guy, John Tyson, described it as one of the root practices in our lives that we need today. A practice that brings formative power into our lives, as we're learning more and more to be discerning. And it starts by asking, is this genuine? The second practice of discernment is to ask the Jesus question. Verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Let me just share another verse with you. John 15, verse 26, Jesus says, when the Advocate comes, that's another word for the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to testify, is to bring glory to who Jesus truly is. But look, John spoke in verse 1, didn't he, about many prophets that have gone out. We see here in verse 3, you know, that the spirit of the Antichrist is even now already at work. And yet Jesus is talking in contrast to that about the spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. This clash again of truth and falseness. In the context of that John is writing, we've shared throughout in the Bedrock series, you know, he's dealing with churches that are facing so much false teaching about Jesus. And he wants them to know about Jesus' life. He wants them to know about the incarnation, that Jesus is God himself come to them. He wants them to know about Jesus' work on the cross, that he is the sacrifice for our sins. He wants them to know about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and that he's coming again and will be like them when we see him. He wants them to know about their identity in Christ Jesus now. He's just radically changed their life, you know. But he's so aware that there's so much that's going out that is against Jesus, you know. He talks about, you know, the Spirit of God. One of the evidence of it being active, as we see in verse 2, in someone's life, is through what they're saying about Jesus and how they're living for Jesus. And then we see that verse 3 is almost in contrast to this. Those who deny Jesus is from God, well, they've got the spirit of the Antichrist. They're against Christ, basically. That's it. Very simplified what that means. And John reminds his readers in verse 3 that this spirit of Antichrist, you know, the evil one, this spirit of the age that's opposed to God, that's against Jesus, it's active today. And that is why we need to be practicing discernment, testing, asking the hard questions, thinking, what is this person really saying about Jesus? Is this in line with the life that Jesus lived? You know, I love Matthew 16 when Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You know, who you think Jesus is and what you think Jesus has done in your life shapes your whole life and is really important to the discerning process. You know, Peter says in Acts 4 of Jesus in verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Today, in a pluralistic society, in a post-Christian culture, that is seen as an arrogant statement. And it takes real courage to declare that and live that out. Real courage. But in the discernment process, we need to be asking the Jesus question. If I do this, will I grow in my walk with Jesus? Does this teaching draw me closer to Jesus? You know, as we're opening our Bibles, we're getting to know the life of Jesus so that we can do the life of Jesus and to be discerning, to be testing, to be knowing more God's will for our lives. But we have to first of all start by asking, you know, is this genuine? We need to ask the Jesus question, you know, what's this saying? Where is Jesus in this discernment process? And the third practice of discernment is believe you are an overcomer. Verse 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Both in your personal life, both in the community life of a local church, there are demonic forces that seek to come against us, to destroy us, to destroy your witness for Jesus, to destroy the local church's witness for Jesus. We have a term that we use to describe this. We call it spiritual warfare. And part of the way we combat this is through the practice of discernment. Now, we are a combat church and we are equipped for combat. How? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You know, maybe, you know, I'm just thinking back to that story that from Lectio 365 on Wednesday, when, you know, the servant went out and he saw this physical army and was overwhelmed and thought, what am I going to do? And his eyes are opened to God's presence with him, the heavenly host that was there. And maybe as you're listening to this today, your heart just needs to be opened again to what it means to have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, the Holy Spirit lives in you. I have never ceased to be amazed by this. You know, when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour, then He came in. The Holy Spirit came into my life. The Holy Spirit lives in me and he lives in you. And that brings a strength. It brings a wisdom. It brings an empowering into your life that enables you to face incredible challenges. You know, is there a pluralistic worldview that is strong and intimidating? Yes, but He that is in us is stronger. Are there false prophets that appear wise and attractive? Yes, but He that is in us is infinitely wiser. Is the demonic real? Yes. But on the cross, Jesus smashes evil and He defeats sin and He breaks the power of sin in your life. You know, there are things at times that come against us. At times we can feel that we're in a deep spiritual struggle at times. At times the discerning process seems like a real struggle at times. You know, we can have our own thoughts that are like, you know, is this me? Is this from God? There can be a worldview that's coming into our life. There can be the devil's ploys to deceive us. But always in the midst of that, there is the beautiful voice of God in our lives. And through His word, through the activity of the Holy Spirit, let me encourage you today that you can overcome some significant challenges that come against you. Maybe right now someone's saying to you, you're just an arrogant person. How can you really say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Well, take strength. He that is in you is greater. Maybe you feel oppressed by certain thoughts, by certain situations. Maybe you're struggling to believe you're ever going to overcome something. He that is in you is greater. You know, a verse very close to my heart is Psalm 18, verse 29. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And let me just speak that into your life today. You know, maybe you feel there's a whole force coming against you. You know, you can advance with God's help. He that is in you is greater. Maybe you feel you've come up against a wall and you don't see any way round or under. How am I going to get past this? The Holy Spirit lives in you. He that is greater is in you. Call out to Him. You know, discernment often comes at times in the face of challenges. And we need to know, you need to know, I need to know that the Holy Spirit is in you. And you need to believe that with His help, you can overcome. Practice of discernment. Look for what is genuine. Ask the Jesus question. Believe you can overcome through the help of the Holy Spirit. And finally, listen to God. Verse 5. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now John uses this phrase, you know, from God, not from God, I think 6 times. And John is talking about people who, you know, people who are not from God listen to what the world says, and those who are from God seek to listen to what God is saying, the spirit of truth or the spirit of falsehood. And Jesus says in John 8 verse 47, the one who is from God listens to God's words. And what John really brings us here to is such an important part in the discernment process, and that is listening to God. And it brings us right back to what we keep coming round to in 1 John, that word abide. Abide. Another quote from Ruth Haley Barton, the heart of the discerning process is listening to God, listening to God, to each other, and to what is going on in the depths of our own souls, where God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit about things that are true. You know, we can see in these six verses how important it is to look for what is genuine. Is it from God? To ask the Jesus question, is this what Jesus do? Is this true to who Jesus is? To believe that you're an overcomer, that the Holy Spirit lives in you. There are walls that you can climb, get over through his power in your life. But listening to God, though, is also so important. I just want to share three final points on this. When you come to listen to God, be careful of your own emotions and opinions, because they are very strong. If I don't surrender my own opinions and thoughts, then I can make myself believe that God is saying many things to me that he is not actually saying to me. And I have learned that discerning is also about surrendering. It's saying to God, it's your will, God. I surrender my thoughts, my opinions, so that I can hear what you want to say. Secondly, create space to hear from God. We talk about this often. But you need to have that space to God to come to him with the question that's on your heart. You know, come to him with what you're wrestling with. Yes, without a doubt, there are things in our day-to-day lives that very quickly we say, God, you know, what should I do here? What should I do that? But there can be big, weighty things that we're wrestling with that we need to just take that, get that space to be alone with God, to really hear from him, to really ask him the question, oh, God, what should I do about this job opportunity that's come along? God, what should I do about that person at work that I'm struggling to get on with? Or things like that. And the third one is prayer. Another quote from Ruth Haley Barton. I promise it's the last one. But she speaks about the prayer of indifference. Getting to that place in your life where God's will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else is what you know in your life. You get to that place where you know God has spoken to you and shown you the right way. The prayer of the indifference way. Other opinions and other thoughts are, you know, not that you're rude towards them, but you know, you just know that God has showed you what you should be doing. And prayer is so important, that praying for wisdom. You know, James talks about, if you lack wisdom, ask for it and God will give you it. So there's just three things when we come to listening. Careful of your own emotions and opinions. Create that space to abide, to hear, to be still with God. And pray, pray, pray that you would just know powerfully his will in your life. Let me bring this together as we come to close. John is speaking to a very clear context where the local church is just being inundated with false teaching. And he's saying to them, you've got to practice discernment. You've got to know if what you're hearing is from the Holy Spirit, is true about Jesus, or is it a false worldview, or is it the evil one trying to deceive you? And when we bring this into our own lives today, we've got to practice discernment. And it's not just about, you know, it's not about feeling the right thing. It's about opening up God's word and wrestling about, you know, and listening. And what is God's will for your life? What is God's will for EMBC? You know, what is God's will for you to be involved in or not involved in? Allowing God to go into those deep places in your life to really speak into where you're at and some of the questions that you have. You know, I have been really challenged myself again, just bringing this sermon together about just the importance of practicing discernment. I loved what John Tyson said about it being like a practice of formation in our lives. And I just as I was coming on to preach this, I was just going through it, and Romans 12 just came to me. You know, Romans 12 talks about, you know, has been transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may be able to test, you know, discern and know the will of God. And you know, this is a key practice for us at this time in our lives, in the society we live in the lives that God calls us to, that we're able to discern. We're able to ask God and seek his guidance on matters. So we're going to just come and finish in prayer. And I'm actually going to pray a little prayer in a moment that comes from the chapter in that book I was telling you about, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And I just want to, in a moment, just finish with the prayer that comes at the end in the chapter that is entitled Finding God's Will Together. But let us just pause and just take a moment to just let God's Spirit just confirm in our hearts what he's been saying to us today. Father God, we thank you that you are alive in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. Jesus, you promised that when you would go back, you would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come, and for all who confess Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, into your life comes the Holy Spirit. He that is in you is greater. And we thank you, Spirit of the risen God, for dwelling within us today. And I pray for each person listening to this, that you would just fill them afresh today. That they would surrender their whole self to you today, so that you can come into every part of their life. And when we use that word surrender, Father, we want to surrender our thoughts and our opinions to you. I pray particularly if maybe someone today is trying to discern, they're trying to test if something's from you or if something's not from you, if something's right or if something's not right. Lord, firstly, that they would just lay down their own thoughts and opinions and just come to you and say, Father God, speak to me. That they would have your word open before them, just listening to what you have to say to them. That they would maybe have two or three key people around them just praying for them at this time. You would bring them to that place of that prayer of indifference where they clearly know your will for their life. And Father, we thank you that you lead us. We thank you that you lead us. Help us to know what is really from you. Help us to always keep you, Jesus, at the forefront of all our discerning. Does this glorify you, Jesus? Does this speak truly about you, Jesus? Is this what you would do, Jesus? Help us to know that. And I pray that particular, maybe there's someone really struggling, really feeling oppressed, really feeling worn down, really feeling battered down by some sort of situation. Oh, Holy Spirit, just strengthen them today. They feel like they're up against a wall. Break that wall down today in Jesus' name. And show them the way forward. Lord, help us all to listen more to you. And as I pray that, I just come, before we move back into worship, to just read this prayer that comes at the end of this chapter. O God, by whom we are guided in judgment, and who raises us up, and who raises up for us light in the darkness, grant us, in all our doubts and uncertainties, the grace to ask what you would have us do, that your Spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices, and in your straight path we may not stumble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us come to worship together now.
Expectations. Thank you so much to the worship team and Mark for bringing God's word, and for you to tune in. It is amazing to gather together as God's church, to come before him, to worship him. It's who we are, and it reminds us the truth of who God is. And it's going to be so good to do that back together in person again in the very near future. We have our prayer time tonight at 6:30 over on Zoom, the usual East Mains Zoom details. For that, if you need them, please do get in touch with us and we'll get those to you.
Brilliant. Thank you, Rory. And enjoy the rest of your week. Hopefully when you're watching this, the spring sunshine is still out. Thank you again for joining us. And as always, if you're needing any help with anything, do not hesitate to get in touch with us, and God bless you in your week ahead. See you next time.